Send your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast with your hosts, Keith Tharp, Mark Sadowski, and Matt Hoffman. Suck it, Android.
Hey, everybody. This is the Tiny Shutter Podcast, the show where we took a week off, and then I got sick, and then all hell broke loose. But we're back, and we're here to talk about iPhone photography. I'm Mark Sadowski.
Oh, hey guys, I am Matt Hoffman.
And I'm Joseph Ferreira.
Yeah, sorry about that, I kind of threw the vibe up there. Yeah, the last show we did was, it was during the whole Boston Marathon Under Siege week. I think we recorded, on that Wednesday, and then I put it up on Friday morning, where that was the only thing I had to do because Boston was under martial law, essentially, and then we all kind of were glued to that for a bit. And then my daughter got sick, and then I got sick, and then so we're recording Friday night, like a week and a half later, essentially.
Spread the love.
Yeah. But hey, how about that coverage there? Everything was happening in Boston like that night. It was weird because the news was covering that last shootout, and I was getting my news from my brother, who was just watching it out his window.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, not like directly. He lives like down the street or up the street from where it was happening. But yeah, he saw like the flash grenades go off, and yeah, heard the gunshots, and it's crazy.
Yeah, no kidding.
Let's not do that again in Boston, guys.
How far away are you from actually Boston?
I live north of the city. I'm 30 miles outside of the city. But that Monday, I was only 8 streets away. So it was all too close. And damn terrorists. Yeah, that's all we'll say about that. So let's talk about some happy stuff. Let's do some news.
News team, assemble!
All right, so one of the things that came out this, I think it was early this week, is this Fox Sports News reporter somewhere in Florida. Was it Florida? I don't know. It's a Fox News thing, so I take
it. No, it was in Boston.
It's Fenway.
Oh, Fenway Park. Oh, how about that? Anyway, she was looking to take a photo of herself, so she's facing the camera her way, and in the photo, you see a fly ball just narrowly missing her head. Now, a lot of people are saying, is this fake or is this real? And I say, this is totally fake. I mean, look at that girl. There's no way that's her real hair color. I'm pretty sure she had plastic surgery.
I think the lens flare is fake too.
Yeah, there you go. Not to mention that whole Instagram thing.
Yeah, it's when I first saw it, I thought it looked fake. Well,
record, I'm being light about it. I know we're talking about the ball that's in the photo.
And when I you know, then I realized, you know what, if it was fake, it would be perfectly round because the way, you know, the shutter works, it's a rolling shutter. So anything that's moving in the image will come out distorted. So right. it was pretty much, you know, a distorted ball. I didn't think it would show that much detail that it did on the ball, considering that usually this is about maybe a 1/60th of a second, and you know, most of the time it's struggling at a, you know, 1/15th. Now if this was an iPhone 5, it might have been a different story, but I thought it was pretty amazing that it got the detail it did.
Matt, have you seen the shot?
I have, yeah.
What do you think?
I actually I'm pretty naive. I don't know. I didn't even doubt whether or not it was real. I'm looking at it again right now, and you know, the lighting on the ball and the lighting on her head is exactly the same.
Yeah.
So I just didn't even question it. I was just like, oh, wow, that's really a crazy coincidence.
Here's the thing. Here's what how I came to the conclusion that this was a real shot. Look at her. Is this the kind of person that is good at Photoshop? Yeah, enough now, said.
She would have somebody doing the Photoshopping for her.
Probably, yeah. But, yeah, this is real. There's not a thought in this world goes on in that head.
Oh, jeez.
1-star reviews from our super hot blonde people. I don't know. She just bugs me. The first time I saw the shot, it's just like, eh, go away.
The likelihoods that the ball would be, you know, caught in frame is so, I mean, even if you had to, if you tried to recreate it, I don't know if you could.
Right. It's one in a million shot. I mean, she's up fairly high. Yeah. So the ball lost a lot of its momentum by the time it reached its apex and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, there's, I've heard like all the Reddit comments and all that stuff. So, I mean, it's totally plausible. But I think the worst atrocity here is that we've now determined a phrase for people taking self-portraits as selfies.
Oh, yeah, jeez.
I think that is the greater crime in all of this, and it should come to a stop.
It just sounds wrong.
It totally does. Selfie. We're not going to live that down. Kind of like Boston and Sweet Caroline. Can't get rid of that song.
I think, you know, instead of selfies, they should call it narcissistic trends.
Narcissies.
Didn't we use that term like on one of the episodes that we did where we talked about taking self-portraits with your phone? Keith had like a tip for how to make yourself look good so you don't have like a double chin or something like that.
I don't think we ever referred to it as a selfie, though.
Oh, I thought he did.
No, Keith wouldn't.
I don't know.
I don't want to go back and find out. I'd rather remain ignorant there. If he said selfie, he probably like slurred it so that, you know, he was saying self-portrait, but then he kind of like got a hiccup or something like that. And it just kind of maybe the possibility that it accidentally came out selfie. And then maybe from that, it started a trend. I'm going to chalk it up to accident. There's no way in hell that Keith would have said that on purpose. That's like, no. I can't believe this. No.
I'm just going to keep on thinking that he did.
So, all right. So that's enough of that. And too many. I can't keep that blonde-headed photo up on my site. Instagram adds identity layer to their photos. What do you guys think of this? Let's start with you, Matt.
I read a little bit about it, and I don't really understand the point of it, to be honest with you. I mean, I guess it's just so you could bring up a gallery of all the photos that you're tagged in.
Yeah.
Because I don't really see any other reason to have this feature, because you could, like, I don't know how else to explain it. You could tag people already in Instagram just by adding their username to a comment. So
right.
The only real benefit I could see to this is just so, you, again, with the narcissism, so you could look at a gallery of photos that you're tagged in.
Yeah. I guess it makes it easier for the less finesse people that are using it. I mean, there's like a kabillion people using it now. Joe, what do you think?
First when I saw it, I'm like, seriously? Just I do understand that, you know, sometimes if family members are using Instagram and, you know, you happen to be in their images and they want to you go, oh, I want that photo, and, you know, and be able to see it on the site. I don't know how it works if you're viewing somebody else's profile, but You know, I think one of the things they – I don't think it's really meant for us to use and say, hey, this is great. I think in the article it was mainly saying a lot about possibly if you follow, you know, different types of sponsors or I think they use like Nike.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can tag yourself saying, you know, tag Nike and saying, yeah, I use Nike or whatever. So, you know, it says it could be a, you know, well, and the title says it could be a big deal for brands, but I don't know. I think I'm over the whole tagging, you know, this is definitely a Facebook type.
Yeah, it's definitely Facebook-esque. You could tell it comes straight from that world.
And it may just be a better way for them to gather information.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to use it.
I've used it for family photos only. And that's essentially it.
My wife has an account, but she doesn't use it. And then the rest of my family, they all use Android, so I don't even think they have an Instagram account.
Oh, there you go. Well, they can if they want to.
They can, but yeah, I don't know. They've never said anything about it.
All right, you brought up the whole Android thing. I'm just going to bring this up real quick because we've been going through this pretty ad nauseum of late. But Matt, you got a chance to hold the HTC One recently.
Yes.
And I remember your reply saying that you've been getting sick and tired of hearing about this damn phone until you actually held it. What were your first thoughts about it?
Well, my first thought was, damn, this is a good looking phone.
Yeah.
It just, I really didn't do anything other than hold it. It wasn't a working phone, so I couldn't play with the operating system or
anything. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. But just holding the phone, I was like, man, it has the right dimensions. It's perfect. It just felt amazing.
Yes.
It was just the right size. It wasn't too big. It wasn't too small. I know that, you know, the whole reason the Apple phone is designed the way it is so that you don't have to use two hands. You could reach everything with your thumb more or less. But I didn't really feel that the extra width on the HTC One was a hindrance. It just felt off.
My first thoughts was this is what an iPhone should be like.
Yes, and that's kind of my line of thinking is like, not the heck with the iPhone. I'm going to get an HTC One. I'm kind of thinking, well, when is an iPhone going to be more like this?
Yeah, you know what? When and Keith, when he gets back onto the show, he'll bring this up because he I think his nephew-in-law or something like that. One of his...
I think it was his stepson.
A stepson? Mm-hmm. He said it weird. I forget. And it could be the penicillin talking right now, too. But he said... His son-in-law is getting the HTC One. And Keith is very serious about getting this phone, too. Here's the thing that I noted that is sheer genius of Apple that I don't think anybody quite grasps. Like when I went to see the HTC One at the Sprint store, I got to look through some of the stuff that was on it, but a lot of the stuff that was on it was stuff that people photographed or people downloaded, and it was just a big mess. So you didn't really get to see how good the camera is because it's just a load of crap loaded on that thing. People are taking pictures of the only thing they can, like the wall or the door or. But here,
what? Not their feet.
Oddly enough, no. But here's the thing about that makes Apple really, really good about selling their products. And I just want to mention this real quick. Then we'll move on. And this is why I think the iPhone or any of their products do as well as they do. When you go look in the Apple store, there really isn't much for you to photograph there either. But what you do have is a pre-installed album on the phone that is all professional work, all various types of photography, whether it's landscape or portraits or anything like that. And it's everything in that phone is designed to wow you. That feature the best, that will enhance whatever capability that phone has. So when you have that Retina display, they're going to highlight photos that is going to just absolutely wow you with that mm-hmm. Retina feature, or they're going to wow you with the portraits. They're going to show you the possibilities of this phone. And this is something that no other carrier does, to my knowledge anyway. I heard Samsung is starting their own stores, but I can't see them going to this level. I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, that's just my two cents on it.
I haven't really gone in and looked at other phones. I used to, you know, before I got an iPhone, I would go in and look at the feature phones mm-hmm. and, you know, as much as I could if it didn't have a cord, I'd try a drop test on it, you know, just because I work outside in construction and, you know, I wanted something that wasn't going to break.
Yeah.
Now, if I was looking for another phone, I would be trying everything I could to either find one and be able to, you know, take pictures with it and test it out that way. Because I can probably say that, you know, they took those pictures with that phone, but, you know, I think they're mainly going to use those pictures for display quality, you know,
right.
Look at how well this display is.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's about, okay, how's the camera, you know, cause I want to be able to take great photos with the smartphone.
Right. Yeah, I hear you.
What about you, Matt?
What was the question?
Yeah, there was really no question. It was just I was just making a comment about.
What were your thoughts about the going into the stores and actually seeing the different phones? And the way Apple does it compared to the rest of.
Well, the only place that I really ever see. Like other phones is like if I'm in a large box store, and then the only place that I really see iPhones on display is either at like an AT&T store or at the Apple store.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The way it's presented is, I mean, it's really a total 180. I mean, everything about the Apple phone and the way they present the phone to you is very clean.
Yeah.
It's just not confusing. I mean, I think that's, you know, it's kind of one of the things that I like about the fact that there's not like a bunch of different sizes and stuff like that of the iPhone. The iPhone's the iPhone, and that's it. You know, when you go into, I don't know, anywhere, Best Buy or Walmart, and you see all the phones that they have, there's like a zillion different phones, and that's fine. I mean, it's good to have choices, but I don't know one from the next anymore. I have no idea what the differences are and what makes one better than the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear that. All right. Enough of that. Also in the news, basically the only Apple rumor we'll throw out there is that Apple's basically taking people off of development for the
Original iPhone?
No.
Oh,
Basically, anybody who's working on the Apple operating system is they're rerouting all development into iOS for the iOS 7, so it could be ready for WWDC.
Didn't 6.5 just come out for you guys for the iPhone 5?
Oh, I don't have the 5.
Oh, you don't? Okay. Matt does.
But basically, they're putting a lot of strength behind iOS 7. And from what I understand, it's going to be an extreme overhaul of the operating system, which I'll just say, I'm pretty sure there's going to be something to show for WWDC, and I just can't wait. I really want to see what they have in store for us.
Wait, when is that?
I think it's June.
Oh, okay.
So about a month away.
Jeez.
Yeah.
This year's going by so fast.
Tell me about it. Do you guys have any predictions for the next iOS?
Panoramic. Oh, wait. No.
I don't right have now.
I have no idea. It's like, I don't put a whole lot of stock in what Apple does as much as I put stock in app developers.
Mm.
You know, I really think, you know, I hear all these people say, oh, Apple hasn't done such and such with their phones, or Samsung hasn't done, you know, what are they going to do now? And I'm like, who cares?
Yeah.
I said, you know, most of the creativity is not going to come from Apple. It's going to be from people that go, I can't do this, so I'm going to develop an app that can.
That Siri works for a change.
Yeah. Is it still beta?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
And finally in the news, the original iPhone will soon reach obsolete status in Apple retail stores.
I did not know that they still had the original one for sale.
Neither did I. I didn't really think they probably had like refurbished stuff, and it's probably in their like used bin, far away, tucked in their website.
Yeah, I did not realize that it was still out there.
I remember buying that thing, and I have a lot of fond memories on that device. It's around the house somewhere. I just can't find it. But that was a well-designed phone.
I still have my 3GS.
Nice. So that's all. That's all it is. That's all there is to that bit of news. So, yeah, anyway. So let's go into our focus point for this week. And I just want to say that lately I've been doing a lot of, well, long story short, I'm really, really itching to buy the Fuji, what is it, the Fuji X100S or whatever the heck that name is. It's a really nice rangefinder camera, and I can't afford it yet. I need to do a few more weddings before I can do that one. But what it has made me itch to do is just do minimalist photography. I know we talked about it a while ago, but I've been taking just straight up photos without editing. So if I'm going to do a black and white photo, rather than taking a regular photo and then rendering it into black and white, I've been using the, well, what's it called? The M Pro app to just straight up take black and white photos. And I would do like the color adjusting, the color filter adjusting as I'm about to take the photo, and then I'll snap the shot. And the only editing that I've been doing is just cropping, if anything.
What's the M Pro app?
It's just a straight up black and white photo app.
Mark, I got a new one for you that I'm going to tell you about today.
Oh, sweet. I can't wait to hear it.
It's freaking awesome.
Do you want to share it now?
No.
Okay. So anyway, that's pretty much what I wanted to just kind of talk about is just pure photography, where you take the shot and that's it. Do you guys have any favorite stories that you want to share on that? I know it's kind of sudden. We just kind of talked about it before the show started. But I've just had a hunger for just regular photography. I don't want to do any filters or any kind of weird hipstamatic stuff lately. It's just been shoot and show.
You know, I still don't really know how to use hipstamatic.
Here's the big gripe that I have about hipstamatic. It's when you take a photo, and I take it at the highest resolution possible, it takes so long for that photo to render. And I can't see why. Like every other photo app that I have that has some sort of weird filter on it takes like a second to process. And this thing takes about like literally 4 or 5 seconds. So that's been my gripe with them. I don't know if they're making that artificial time lag happen or if it's actually literally taking that long to process the photo. In either case, stop it.
I think for me, it's just an app that really requires you to be dedicated to using it.
Yeah.
So that you learn the, you know, the effects of the different films and the different lenses and stuff. And I just use it so infrequently that I really don't have a clue what any of the lenses and any of the films do.
Yeah.
So, for instance, this past weekend, I went to Pennsylvania to see my family, and I had a good friend from when I was a kid that was getting married, so we went to his wedding. And I thought, I'm not like photographing the wedding, but I'll see if I could grab a couple shots and I'll do the hipstamatic thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just could not find a combination that worked.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand because I shot pictures about 6 months ago at a wedding with hipstamatic and they were great. And it's like the film disappeared or something.
Yeah.
The app. I don't know if it does that or what the deal is, but I could not find the same film and just said, screw it. I can't make this work. The hell with it.
Yeah. Oh, that's weird. I wonder, did you reinstall the app or something?
No, but I've been wondering when they offer like packages for free, are they free forever or does it go away eventually?
No, it's free forever.
Because I can swear there's stuff that I know I've downloaded, like the Americana package and stuff like that. And I don't think I have those lenses and films in my hipstamatic anymore.
But I hear you because it's a lot to putz around with. You have something that goes slightly pink, something goes slightly orange, something that goes slightly more contrast, and...
Yeah, you don't really know what you're getting until you take the shot, you know? It's
right.
Like, well, that's too much vignette, or that's too much contrast, or whatever, you know? And then by then, the moment's gone. You can't do it, especially at a wedding, you know?
And I've also noticed that their sample photos for each of the things just sucks. Like, some of them won't have any sample photos, or... Some of them are combined with certain films, so it's like, all right, is this the film effect or is this the lens effect happening here?
Yeah. I didn't mean to get all bagging on Hipstamatic. It's a good app. It's just you got to really get into it and really be dedicated to using it all the time, I think.
Yeah, but my biggest gripe is the sheer weight behind it, the wait time. That lag is just frustrating. There's no excuse for that now.
That is true. Now that you mention that, I think I did notice that I have the iPhone 5.
Yeah.
You know, which has a crazy fast processor, and it still took a little bit for those photos to render.
Yeah. Again, if you're taking a sample shot just to see if you have the right combination, you know, there you are waiting, and that moment has already gone left and sent you a postcard.
Yes.
From Postagram.
Yeah. For me, it was I don't like not being in control of my images.
Yeah.
So when I first got it, when it first came out, I was like, oh, this is great. And I'm like, wait a minute, where's the original photo? And, you know, I wanted to be able to pick and choose and create my own. And it never really did that. And also the lag time was frustrating too. It was neat that you can shake it and come up with different variations, but I only used it once, and after that, I never really got back into it because I guess I'm OCD when it comes to my images.
Yeah. But again, it comes – what I – in real life, I mean, if we're using regular cameras, I'm never going to pick up a toy camera and start photographing with it. Everything I'm going to do is just straight up either color or black and white, and that's really what I wanted to focus on. This past week is just, I wanted to pretend that I was shooting with a Leica, basically. So, you know, I put a red dot on my iPhone and then pretended I was pretentious. And maybe I wore a beret during my sickness. I don't know. It's all a fog. But I really wanted to just pure photography. And that's kind of what I'm going to focus on. I think the previous month, I did a lot of HDR photography in April.
Yeah, you did.
And I think I post-productioned myself out. Like, yeah. I kind of have that burnout.
We're all sick of looking at it, too. So.
Don't make me laugh. It's going to hurt. All right, cough, Mike.
One of the things that with me is that I have not done a whole lot of filters and stuff. I think the last time I really did a filter was when I was trying out the distressed effects.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was fun. But for me, I like getting that crisp, clean looking image and being able to show that off. I took my family to Charleston, South Carolina, this last weekend, and we walked around Charleston. You know, I took some pictures. There was a old it was a housing that housed all the, it was a powder magazine, I guess that's what it was, from 1700s, and you know, walked around, just took pictures and went down Battery Row and where all the cannons are facing out to the water. And, you know, just had cameras, fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Very old ones. but, you know, just taking the straight photograph, not throwing a filter in front of it. I can't remember the last time I actually used a filter on Instagram. It's probably been over a year since I've done it. But, you know, I would use some sort of a filtering type thing with Snapseed, but you know, it's rare, and most of the time I used it just to hide some of the superfluous stuff that was in the image.
Yeah. Cool. How about you, Matt?
You know, right now, it kind of depends what I'm doing. If I'm shooting with my Sony, I'm kind of more shooting clean, I guess. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I shouldn't even say that, because actually I have a few plugins that I've been playing with on my computer that I've been having a lot of fun with, but I've been trying to not be heavy-handed.
Yeah.
So as clean as I can. But on my iPhone, I don't know. I'm still trying to find that balance where you look at my photos and you know that they're manipulated. You know that there's filters and all kinds of nonsense, but maybe you stop for a second and you wonder, is there really a filter or not?
Right.
But there's too many cool apps, you know, to like not – I feel like I'm doing myself a disservice somehow if I'm not – putting an app or a filter on, because I have all these apps to play with and I feel like, I don't know, I'm not getting my money's worth or something. If I'm, you know, opening up like 20 of them and playing with them.
I hear you. Oh, there's a lot of cool apps out there. So I totally hear you.
However, my focus point today really doesn't need any filters or any kind of nonsense like that. I'm pretty excited. So you might start seeing a lot more just really simplified photography from me, from the iPhone.
Interesting.
Cool. All right. So without further ado, let's do focus points.
Sounds good.
Focus point.
You go first, Matt, because I can't wait.
So this particular app I've known was coming out for a few weeks now, and I've been really looking forward to it. Came out like a week ago, I guess. So everyone knows about Snapseed. We've talked about that like 12,000 times, and that's from a plugin manufacturer, Nix Software. And finally, another plugin company got into the mix. That's a company called On One Software. And they make a lot of great plugins that work with Photoshop and Lightroom and Aperture and stuff like that. And they finally came out with a with an app called Perfect B&W. And it is kind of similar to the app that you mentioned earlier, Mark, the M-Pro app, where it's you're shooting in black and white. It's not something for converting pictures to black and white later. It is you load it up and your camera is – this image on the screen is black and white. So there's a whole ton of presets, and I don't remember how many there are, but there's like 20 of them or something that are different styles, different effects kind of. And some of them are really awesome for – a more nostalgic look, and some of them have a kind of Ansel Adams high contrast sort of look, and there's just a whole bunch of different ones, and they're really cool. And once you take your photo, then you could kind of tweak the look a little bit. You could adjust like brightness and contrast. You could do the whole like color filter thing, like, you know, a red filter or orange or whatever for the contrast, if you're trying to make white clouds pop in like a really blue sky, that kind of thing. But it's really simple app. It's really easy to use, and I've been playing with it a little bit, and I've been getting some pretty good shots out of it, so I'm really psyched about this app. Right now, I think when you save your pictures in the app, they're kind of scaled down. They're not full size.
But that's something they're working on. I just bought the app, actually.
Yeah, it is something that they're working on. And this company's products, they're great products. So I have no doubt that their updates are just going to keep making this app better and better. And I think the app was $1.99.
Yes.
Yep.
I'm mistaken. And it's super cool. It's really worth it.
Let me ask you this. How did you know it was coming?
They mentioned it on one of those social media sites, probably Facebook or something. They said they were working on it and just talking about the process of building it and getting it approved by Apple and all that stuff.
I thought you had like an insider link.
No, I'm not that cool at all. But but I ever since they mentioned it, I was pretty excited about it because I do use one of their plugins, and I really like their plugins that I use on my desktop in conjunction with like Photoshop and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So now I'm just waiting for the plugin maker Topaz to come out with something for the iPhone, and that would really just send me through the roof because I love their plugins.
All right, I just tried to. Their camera app, and this is awesome because you can use the plus button for the shutter button. So it's A-okay in my book.
Yeah. Oh, and then the other thing I forgot to mention is when you select one of the presets or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you see that in real time.
So yes.
You see the effect you're going to get before you even take the picture, which is cool.
Right. Really? Do you hear that, Hipstamatic?
Yeah.
Yes, actually, that's awesome. that's what made me think of my frustration with Hipstamatic.
No, this is awesome, dude! I can't wait to go out and just photograph everything. This is awesome.
With your access to the city, I think you all do some pretty cool stuff with this. I think Boston lends itself to black and white
pretty well. Yeah, sweet. All right, how about you? Do you have anything else you wanted to add to this? Or
I think I pretty well covered it.
I think so, yeah. This is a definite must-buy. How about you, Joe? What do you got?
I had mentioned I can't remember if it was LensWipe or this show. I had mentioned about PixLR, which was had a Chrome app to be able to have on your browser, and it's a photo editing program, very similar to like what Macromedia Fireworks or, you know, a very dumbed down version of Photoshop, and it's free, you know, so you're able to, if say you were at a friend's house and you wanted to do something with your images and you didn't really want to do it on your phone, you wanted to see it on a big screen, you can edit the images right there from the browser. Well, they also have an app for the iPhone called PixLR Express Plus that I tried. I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. And it's okay. It's not, you know, it's not a Snapseed, but if you're not into doing all sorts of stuff with Snapseed, this is probably one that you'll want to pick up. You can crop, you can do sharpening. There's a red eye feature, whitening, and you know, it's got effects and some other stuff to it also. So I played with it this weekend. Color Splash, that is, Color Splash is interesting. I think they could improve it. So if they're listening, when you can select a color, and then I believe everything in the image that has that variance of that color will stay. And so, you know, I took a picture of my son over by the cannons, and he was wearing a bright green frog shirt. So I selected his shirt, and everything else went black and white. I think they can add like maybe another color or an option to select another color. But, you know, that's, you know, I don't know how easy that is. But it's free. And yeah, so I'll have that in the show notes. You can find that.
Cool.
The mute on. Nah. It's better than me coughing up a lung here. So awesome. My pick for this week is, I know I've said this before, but I wanted to reiterate it because they've, PicTap Go has updated their software, adding more more features, basically more filters, more cropping ability, so that when you export to Instagram, it doesn't just export, you know, to their pre-rendered version. So I just want to use them as my pick of the week again. It's one of my favorite photo editing apps because you can be as minimalist as you want, and you can be as outrageous as you want. So they're a really cool app. And also, they are giving away a whole bunch of free giveaways for their app. So if you guys want to receive a free version of PicTap Go, all you need to do is, let's see, what should people be able to do? Nothing too complicated.
Well, I think we were having them just follow us on Facebook or Instagram.
Okay, very cool. Well, let's...
I want them to juggle kittens and post it on Vine.
Oh, there you go. Let's do that. Let's just stick with Facebook. Send us a... Damn, I really want to see that too. I'm looking around. I have two cats, but they're kind of heavy.
Yeah, we'll have like PETA all over us if we do that. So don't juggle kittens unless you really want to.
Well, hopefully not the ugly ones.
Nice. Just shoot us a Facebook message. How about that? I think that'll be the easiest one because I'm still kind of sick and I really don't want to do much. So follow us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/tinyshutter. If you already like us, send us a message there saying, I would like to obtain a free copy of PicTap Go. And that's, if you are not a person following us, like us and then shoot us a message in there too saying the same thing. And
or if you don't do Facebook,
Twitter,
you can do this. I was going to say Instagram. Yeah, just go on. Let's see here. Just go to Tiny Shutter Podcast and you know, select this week's image, which would be episode 53, and just say that you'd like to enter.
All right, there you go. And Twitter. There's twitter.com/ Tiny Shutter. Say the same thing there in 140 characters or less. There you go. So anyway, we have a bunch of free codes to give away. So there you go. And let's do the post pick of the week. And Joe, I think you have one.
Yes. And it's going to be, let me pull that up. It's going to be Fritzogram. That's who it was. And it's a classic custom car show, and one of the images in there is a beautiful Corvette, bright red. I love Corvettes, so when I saw it, I was like, bingo, looks great. It looks like it's a 1963-ish, 62-ish, right in between where they went Stingray. And so it's, I think, an awesome image. And it's Fritz, F-R-I-T-Z, a gram. Congratulations.
That dude always posts some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
I think, is this the first time we've mentioned him?
I'm pretty sure it's the first time. But I've seen his stuff before.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff. I mean, he's even got one of the Batmobile from the 1960s TV show.
Nice.
So, go check him out. And so I'll put that up on the site.
Cool. So, awesome. Boom. I think we could call it a show before my larynx falls out. So, yeah. Joe, tell the world where they can find you on this awesome interwebs.
You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira.
Cool. How about you, Matt?
I'm all over Instagram and sometimes on Twitter at M. Hoffman Photo.
Cool. And you can find me probably resting in bed for the next few weeks. But if you want to reach me, you could probably get me at Twitter. I'm at Mostly Marcus. And that is all for this week. If you guys want to write to us, comment on us, go to tinyshutter.com. There's a whole bunch of links to our social groups, our email addresses. Just look there because I don't have the voice to say it anymore. So that is all. Until next week, I hope things will be better.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week. We'll be right back.